Hey, this is Jeff. We'll get to the show in a second. If you want to support the show or find back episodes of the show or find our other podcasts or find articles or quotes on early learning, all that kind of stuff is over at playvolutionhq.com. We're trying to curate the early learning world. Check it out. Here's the show. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. Not in studio with me is Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
Hello, Lisa Murphy. How you doing?
I'm awesome. How are you today?
I'm great. Last episode, we talked about you going through your file cabinets and culling the stuff and downsizing a little bit. I had a downsizing experience with some folks down the street from me a while ago. I messaged you about this. So we'll roll into the story here. Then we've got some thoughts about this. About a week ago, I'm out for an evening walk with the hounds, and we're walking along. And I live in a transitional neighborhood. We've got this huge old house that we really love in this neighborhood. If you go a few blocks in one direction, it could be a better neighborhood. And if you go a few blocks in the other direction, you're in a neighborhood of big, beautiful old houses. And we're right on that border. And we were walking in the not so beautiful direction because I find that more entertaining. Mm-hmm. Just for my walks. A lot more to look at, a lot more to see, a lot more going on. And one of the things that was going on is some people were having, it's at an apartment building, they were having a very sad yard sale.
Yeah.
You ever go by the really sad yard sales, Lisa Murphy? is there a better way to describe?
No, dude, you're on the roll today, man. You hit the nail on the head.
It's very sad yard sale. And there were two handwritten signs, one on cardboard and one on a plank of plywood. And they said, for sale, F-O-R-E-S-E-L-L. In capital letters made with like a Sharpie or something. And my first reaction was very judgy, like, what the fuck?
Right.
And then my second reaction was, oh, I'm a dick. This is where they're at. That's interesting. Do they have children? Are those children in early learning programs or school? Are those children struggling? Does the literacy level of the adults apparently have some impact on that? What are we as a society doing about that? What the hell? I think it's was my reaction. So
I thought I was waiting for you to say it because I didn't want to use your words because I thought it was very intelligent, and I don't want to take.
Surprise!
Yes. I didn't want to steal your thunder. But you said the message was still received. And
yeah.
To me, that was the takeaway from that whole banter that you and I had.
Yeah.
Because I would have been just as judgy. Uh-huh. I'd be like, oh, shit. I mean, I instantly got online. I'm like, I'm sure there's a Tumblr blog that's nothing but pictures of stupid shit like this. And, of course, there is. But anyway, where I locked and loaded, though, was on that very insightful comment, is that the message was still received.
Yeah, you know? Go ahead.
Make room for inventive spelling, you know, so we're making an assumption that because they're of a certain age that they, quote, should know better. Whereas if it was inventive spelling and some kids doing it phonetically, you know, some pre-KK first grader, we would be like, awesome. But I think in our, especially teacher brain, there's an assumption that it's going to move beyond that. And the sad reality is that it doesn't for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the world we live in. And I mean, I always try to approach things through the lens of living in Realville.
Yeah.
And
which you're good at, which, by the way, sidebar, you help keep me kind of
Oh, thank you, Lisa Murphy.
Well, you are. Seriously, you're a guardrail person sometimes, especially when I get off on like a...
I'm like one of those long things they put in the gutters of the bowling alley.
They're like a guardrail.
Yeah. I'm an inflatable in the bowling alley. And
the birthday party, Barney.
So, I mean, the human language has always been in... flux. I mean, inventive spellings has always, I mean, you look back at like the writings of the founding fathers and everything. They're spelling things all kinds of different ways. You look back at Shakespeare. And so spellings have always been in transitions.
Well, because we were a spoken language before we were a written one.
Exactly.
Forget that. We are hardwired to talk. We are
we know it here, right? On episode 500 and some of this podcast.
I got two of those wires, actually.
Doubly hardwired.
I was just going to joke also that we should do the rest of the podcast in ye old English. No, but people sometimes don't realize that. We are not, there's not one shred of like, evolution. Well, I shouldn't say this because this is me ranting. I don't have any facts for what I was about to say. I was going to make some kind of an evolution that we're not hardwired evolutionarily to write, but I don't know if that's true or not. I just know that if you look at the time frame of human existence,
we've been talking a lot longer than we've been writing.
A hell of a lot longer.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there's stuff to unpack here. If you are a preschool teacher and you find out that the child in your classroom has adults in their lives that are having sad yard sales with for sale signs. We talk a lot about relationships and getting to know the kids in your program and those kind of things. This is a thing to know because it does impact the way you approach that family and those adults. Because I'm guessing adults who are spelling like that as adults are probably also not doing a lot of reading and probably reading on a fairly low reading level. And that impacts the kind of written material you send home with those children to those families. And so there's all kinds of things bouncing around on this one topic.
I agree. And again, going back to relationship, it might be something, it might be an intervention that's kind of done really like subtly, meaning, I mean, I'm shitting on you. You should be reading lots of books every day for the kids anyway, not because of filling up some ability that their parents don't have. I mean, that, you know, I would think it almost could almost be a reverse effect where the kids start falling in love with story to the point where the kid starts instigating more stories or more conversation at home. And that then could circle into the adult coming and saying, hey, you know, I don't bring this to the table. I'm needing some resources, you know? So it's not just always that we need to be taking that step, just 'cause the teacher.
And how fucking comfortable does a parent have to feel in your program to be able to come to you and say, hey, my kid's learning to read and I don't read for shit. Can you help me? I mean, that's a scary thing for somebody to do.
Yeah, I don't even know. I'm trying to think in my memory if anything even remotely like that has ever come to pass. Yeah, I mean,
the closest we've had is some things about, hey, you can make this child go to sleep with some dark magic that you possess. How do you do that?
How do you cook your macaroni and cheese because Nathan is crying because it's the weekend?
It's not like Miss Lisa makes it. Yeah, those kind of things. But that's a piece of this.
But I also wonder. Okay, I I'm an overthinker, but I'm thinking scenario wise. If you're involved as the person who's doing intake orientation, they've just done the tour, you're asking them to fill something out. You know what I'm saying? Might there be if you're new, I am not in any way giving permission for jumping to conclusions. Please know that as I continue my thought process. But I would almost think that perhaps in that initial meeting, there could potentially be room to get some indicators that there might be something behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, jumping to conclusions is a hard thing not to do. I think my thing is to try to jump back soon as possible.
Sure.
Because that's
sure.
what I do. The first thing I do, I saw the sign, I jump to conclusions, and then I jump back to try to try to pick it apart a little bit more. And then, I mean, you can make assumptions, though. You can make educated guesses. I'm guessing this group that was having the sad yard sale was doing it for a reason, because there's rent to pay or food to buy.
Right.
And
you're also assuming that an adult wrote the sign.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or at least an adult proofread it.
But then I was thinking my thought, right. Always lemons and lemonade was like that some, you know, a kid did it and the parents thought it was cute. And they put it out, not even thinking what the social, perhaps, ramifications of the sign in front of the house might be. Adult writing.
It looked like adult writing. My thing was that maybe this is a hipster marketing plan. I mean, that could be a thing too in the world we live in. Maybe there were. See, I didn't take a picture because I had two big dogs with me, and I couldn't do it discreetly with them. But maybe they did it that way because they were hoping to
go viral.
Yeah, they were hoping. They're like, hey, that guy, and they're just hoping I'd walk by and take a picture so they could get it posted to Instagram. I don't know.
cracking me up.
Crazy world we live in. I don't know if there's any more here. It was just kind of an interesting thing that you run into. And I think the takeaway is that we should always be looking for these little nuggets of information, these sushi sized bites of information that we get from the people that we encounter. With our educated guesses and knowledge of the world, what we can assume from those things, and then how that can impact our interactions with the people that we're observing. And I think that's those things can, again, those are skills that we have to hone and practice to get good at. But I think there's a lot we can learn about people and situations by paying attention to those kind of things, and not just leaving it at the conclusion we initially jumped to.
Right. And that takes a level of self-awareness, you know, that, oh shoot, I just realized I overreacted, or I just realized that I made an assumption.
I made an assumption. I'm a dick like Jeff. Let me pull back from this.
Well, and at the risk of now sounding like a full-blown hypocrite, you still need to proofread the fucking newsletters you send home.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll own that. You should not be writing on the, or know your strengths. I know that I can't spell. I'm a horrible speller. I write the way that I talk. Red Leaf Press is about ready to hang me from my toes, you know, because, you know, they finally gave the book to the copy editor, you know, and they're like, shit, use a period for crying out loud. It's a 400-page book with just commas in it.
That's called stream of thought, consciousness. You and Faulkner,
right? And they're getting paid to do their job.
Yeah, that's their job.
To do my job. So I get that, but you got to own your strength. Like if you know that you, there's no shame in saying, "Hey, co-teacher, can you take a quick read through this? You know, I don't want to send home a newsletter that, you know, has glaring, obvious typos in it."
Yeah. And my initial judgy at this sign was coming from somebody who didn't pass a spelling test from third grade on in school, and wished death upon Miss Lamb, his third grade teacher, because she was such an ogre about spelling. And fuck her. I've written 10 books, and if there are any spelling errors in them, it's not my fault. It's the fucking copy editor's fault. So, I'm the last person who should get judgy about spelling. And again, the message came across.
And I was hoping that you were going to kind of circle back to that, because I think that that's the nugget. That's the sushi of this, is that the message can still be received. Right. So that to me is a part of the jumping back.
And along those lines, to wrap up with that thought, in our interactions with parents and kids, we have to understand that we may not be sending the messages we're sending in the most effective, the most perfect way, and be willing to be okay with that. Because sometimes instead of doing something that's just, our educational system drives us to not respond unless we've got the right answer, right?
Oh, that's a valid point.
And I think a lot of times as professionals, we're not speaking up for what we believe because we're worried we're not going to say it as perfectly or effectively or eloquently as we could. And so we remain silent, and that doesn't move anything forward. If you can get your message across, even if it's imperfect, you're probably better off, and the profession is better off for you voicing even imperfectly what you think and what you believe. Or no.
I like that. No, I think that's right. You know?
Because this profession would be a lot better off if more people were speaking up for what they actually believed in. Or at least we'd all know where everybody standed a little bit better. But a lot
because
of times we don't
do that. Because even a clumsy conversation is still motion. It's still moving stuff ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think also, and this is personal, not necessarily to me, but I think it's more of a personal statement, is realizing that self-expression doesn't always have to be in agreement with the person that you're communicating with. You know, like, oh, I'm not going to say that because it's going to make that person mad. Well, maybe not. You know, you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Because we are so jaded by our growing dependency on online interactions, because that's where a lot of people are doing most of their interacting, and how that can turn into flame wars and judgy and get out of control so fast. We start being silent in our day-to-day communications, and it's a hard thing. I've been quite open about it. I've been pulling back from the social media over the last year, and I'm finding out there are fewer jerks in the world because I'm interacting with more humans and fewer virtual versions of those humans, and the world's become a more pleasant place for me. And I mean, that kind of relates to this as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Should we wrap this one up? Any more thoughts?
Yeah.
Hey,
we're
let's pull
wrap it up. You're going to sing a rap song. Get it? Rap.
Wrap it up. That's how I would spell it. This has been another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. If you've got anything for sale and you want to advertise it on the show, get a hold of me. We'll give you a good rate. Enjoy the day. Thanks for sharing the show. And again, stick your earbuds in somebody else's ear holes and let them have a listen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I was going to push the stop record button, but I don't have to.
Don't.
So you want to do another one?
Yeah, but I'm going to pee.
Okay.
Be right back.
Okay. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Oh.